that, the release plan that was developed and signed by our field office director is my boss in Seattle, and any kind of condition like that that theoretically could impact the legal rights of the individuals in our custody, I think would have to be vetted by our ICE counsel.
And so when you say theoretically affect the legal rights,
Well, I mean, if we are releasing a person and they have a family member there that is planning on driving them away from the South Portland neighborhood, the idea that we wouldn't allow that to take place and we would force them to be released at a different location, I think could theoretically have some legal impact. I'm not an attorney. I'm not in a position to... to address that.
Fair enough.
Okay. So. Go ahead, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I have a clarifying question. You mentioned that some detainees who would be released would be non-criminals and some would be. What's the proportion of folks, of the detainees that are brought to the facility that have a serious crime versus a traffic stop or something like that? Do we know that?
Actually, no, I don't have the statistical that statistical information. But, you know, again, Mr. Grunewald has already testified that the people that we are bringing in, the 10 to 15 that we're bringing in for processing, have come from county jail facilities, from a state correctional institution, from the Bureau of Prisons. You know, we cover the entire state, although the Portland sub-office covers Marion County up through Clark County, Washington, and then all the way over to the Idaho border and down to Harney County. We have two other satellite offices that handle other parts of the state, one in Eugene, one in Medford. So, I mean, at a minimum, the person was arrested as a result of probable cause to effect an arrest, charged criminally. They may be released to a detainer that we place without being convicted for whatever crime they were arrested and charged with, or they may have been convicted previously or just been convicted and served their time. I did not come prepared to give you a breakdown, and I don't know what you would consider to be a serious crime.
That's a good explanation,
yeah.
And you couldn't put more evidence in the record anyway, but that gives me a better understanding of the range of people who would be detained. And you had mentioned earlier that if there was a serious concern about safety, that wouldn't be somebody who'd be eligible for release.
Right, and, you know, keeping in mind that we have to operate within federal immigration law, and what one person might consider to be a very serious offense may not have an immigration implication at all. But the likelihood that we would have a person in that situation in our custody would be slim.
Excuse me, Mayor Adams.
Yes.
Can the witnesses speak more directly in the microphone? The last fire was breaking up. It's hard to hear.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Thank you, Commissioner Lynn. Additional conversation with this? All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Do we have more?
One more. David August.
David August. David August. Mr. August, there you are.
Oh, yeah.
Right up front.
Okay.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. I didn't expect to be called quite so soon, but I did notice the list outside for supporters was rather short. So... my name's David August. As I mentioned, I live at 300 Northwest 8th Avenue. The reason I mention that is that for the past 14 years, I have lived within two or less blocks of the current ICE facility, so I'm well acquainted with that site. And I just want to put that in there for the record. And I'm going to urge you to support the appellant and approve the conditional use. And I'm going to focus really in on the hearing officer's decision because I think that's what the appeal is about and the one issue of direct release of detainees. So looking through that record and spending a lot of time trying to read the testimony, on page 33 of the testimony or of the decision hearing, the hearing officer's report. I'm quoting, no evidence was submitted that individuals released from ICE custody at the 511 Southwest Broadway building have committed crimes within the Pearl District or that they are more likely to commit crimes when released to South Waterfront. Rather, the Portland police have received no complaints about ICE release policies, and the police bureau testimony is that ICE operations will not pose an unreasonable safety threat. So that's a direct quote from the hearing officer's report. And I only can speak for the last 14 years, but if I went to statistics, which I don't usually, if they release three detainees a week, and they've done it over the last 14 years, that's over 2,000 detainees that have been released into our neighborhood. And frankly, I wouldn't be able to tell you who was a released detainee as opposed to someone that just walked into that into the ICE building and just was conducting normal business. I really think that is not a very serious issue. And I think the hearings officer erred because I think kind of went beyond what was required on the on this safety issue. And I don't understand why the officer would need to start to use WPATO as a comparison when you already have evidence from an existing facility. This is not anything new. You have a facility that's had three decades of experience and no reported incidents of criminal activity. And so I think that's not a fair comparison. I think Ms. Godfrey laid out a very detailed criteria for the release of detainees. I think it meets all the criteria that would be necessary, and I'm going to urge you to support the appellant. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. August. All right, we will now hear from the principal opponent. Principal opponent. I could be playing coy with me.
Happiness boys.
Welcome back. If you could speak very closely into the microphone so that Commissioner Leonard can hear you clearly. 15 minutes.
Thank you very much. My name is James Davis. I'm the land use chair of the South Portland Neighborhood Association. And I'm really amazed at what I've heard so far, but then I shouldn't be because it's probably one of the most interesting cases I've heard in 11 years of being land use chair in our neighborhood. It ranks beyond anything I can possibly say, except in terms of hanky-panky and flim-flammery. One of the things I would like to point out is that my testimony is not going to be aspirational. It's going to be primarily on what I actually have in the record. Silly me, I thought, for instance, that, and this is not new evidence, it is something that Mr. Hardy did write, sunglasses. And it says something about this. It says, appealing the decision, meaning, of course, the hearings officer decision. Page 30, only evidence previously presented to the hearings officer will be considered by city council. I've heard an awful lot of dancing today about what's on the record and what's off the record and who's representing who and are you I have been here an awful lot of time, as you folks well know, but I have never heard a commissioner have to ask someone who they're representing. There seems to be a mix-up between the appellant and the lessee in this instance. The lessee, which happens to be the General Services Administration, and they're working for ICE, is not the appellant. It's the property owner, pure and simple. Second of all, I did bring some things for your amusement, and I'm not sure if this could be considered new evidence, but apparently There's a very foggy line here as to what's new evidence or not. I did present this at the hearings, to the hearings officer. It's from the Oregonian. It's dated the 6/18/11. And it essentially puts everything we've heard so far into a cocked hat.
Into a what?
Cocked hat. Three-corner hat. Okay. In that, according to Janet Napolitano, I can never pronounce these Italian names, the focus of ICE has changed. They're no longer arresting people sort of as a as they come basis, but they're going to be going to the prisons throughout the area, which includes southwest Washington and Oregon, collecting felons for processing out of here. The quality of their clientele and the risk to our neighborhood goes up tremendously. We don't know how long these people have been in jail. They could be in jail from 2 years to 30 years. We're talking about people who have committed major crimes that have served time and in the process have been found to be here illegally. So they are being held by an administrative hold so that the process can go on. And by the way, just as an aside, and this probably is new information, unsolicited, I got a letter from the district attorney that described exactly what the holding cells are at this new facility. And according to Michael Schrunk...
If it's new information, then...
I don't know if it is.
Oh, okay.
We don't know. I mean, the line is so blurred now.
Actually, the line is determined by that woman sitting over there.
Well,
so
all right.
Would it be an appropriate time to talk about what council's options are? I don't want to interrupt Jim's presentation, and I would certainly. I'm noticing the clock isn't going down anyway. So, would it be an appropriate time so that we can clarify this before? Would you like that to be clarified?
Not at this particular time.
Actually, the question is to the mayor.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll answer for anything.
Yes, I would like it to be more of this clarified in real time.
This is an on-the-record hearing, as we talked about at the beginning. Council has...
I really need the clock, too.
It is...
I've stopped the clock.
Yeah, the clock is stopped.
Right.
It is clear that people are submitting things that at least staff does not have a photographic memory and does not know precisely what is in the record. There are things that sound to the staff as if they are new evidence. He does not believe they are in the record. I agree. I tend to agree with him, and I also think there are some things that have been submitted since the hearings officer, which makes it more likely they contain new evidence if they have data in them rather than simply argument. Counsel's option is, one, people here can identify things that they believe are new evidence. We will list them, and counsel will say, we will not consider, 6/18/11 article by Janet Napolitano, because that is new evidence. Or counsel can say, we have received varying things that people allege are new evidence during this hearing. The way to remedy that is to allow people after today's hearing 7 days to rebut anything that they believe is new evidence. Those are going to be the two options to counsel. At this point, counsel probably needs to give some guidance, because I think if your intent is not to allow any new evidence, it sounds like the people testifying need to know that.
Mayor Adams, I don't know. I can't remember the last time we took this up, but the idea that the record would remain open and people would have a chance to rebut and therefore sanitize any issue, any question of unfairness if something wasn't rebutted, it seems to me to be reasonable. I'm finding some of these lines hard to follow, and we can't prevent someone from testifying, starting to go into their testimony, potentially referring to something outside the record, then it becomes part of the record.
Well, I don't want people to waive it, to be so blatant about it. So if you know it's not, if you know it's new information, then again, don't do it. If you're not sure, I appreciate you flagging that you're not sure. And we will leave the record open for clarifications, but I also want people to adhere to the rules as much as you possibly can. So please continue.
That's most generous, and I appreciate it, Mayor Adams. This 618 article, I did use in testimony in front of the hearings office, and I would enter it for your perusal so as to substantiate my claims as to the quality of client that ICE will now be having at that particular location. One of the things we keep hearing is that the 511 building and the 4310 building are analogous. I don't think so. Although the 511 building is on Everett and Broadway, it's really more focused towards the Old Town area. The proper Pearl District is approximately a quarter of a mile to the west. This is not new evidence, but it is documentation as to what we should really be looking at here. And I submitted it earlier. It's called Solicitations for Offers. It's dated 9/14/2009. And first of all, as of that date, everyone knew exactly what this facility was going to be, because it says this will be an investigative office and detention removal facility with supporting administrative offices. Pretty clear. That's what this document is all about. Secondly, it says ICE cannot be located within 300 feet of a U.S. Customs or Immigration Services, nor education or religious or facilities that contain a majority of retail tenants. That's pretty clear. That's pretty much black law, a black letter. It seems, however, that the way I read English and the way it's practiced at this particular level is somewhat different. Also, the offered space must be within the delineated area of the central business area of Portland, Oregon. Not the central city, the central business area. That's why it's at 511 right now. And in terms of location, it also says that the space shall be located in prime commercial office district. No matter how you cut it, 4310 is not prime or commercial office district in the city of Portland. These are some of the problems I've been having with this thing. I'm going to shut up and let Mr. Danneman talk now.
William Danneman, 623 Southwest Carruthers Street. I'm also with the South Portland Neighborhood Association. And I'm the one that came across all these articles that some people call addendum and some people call new evidence. A rose is a rose. I was brought in front of the hearings officer because Mr. Davis had to leave, and he specifically went over me from top to bottom that no later, not 1 second later than 4:30 p.m., July 18th, will any new evidence be accepted, period. I'm in front of the crowd like this, and he's telling me what I have to pass on. So I remember that date very specifically. Yesterday, I go to check the file just on a whim. My goodness, I have things August 17th. September 19th, September 15th, August 31st. Those, by any stretch of the imagination, are new evidence. One of them happens to be the plan from ICE. It was skillfully intertwined with the information that was submitted by the applicant. There's also a letter from GSA, new information that was not there during the hearing. And also, unfortunately to say, the police memo, August 31st. That cannot, because that's a clarification of what they had. We would not be here today if those information were available to the hearings officer, because those are the points that he found lacking. So this is a new application. This isn't the same application that the hearings officer saw. All of a sudden, these folks roll the dice. We're only going to give you the information we think you want to know, and they lost. Now all of a sudden they're coming in changing, trying to change the game. If we don't have something on which to base our beliefs in, which is the city code and our city representatives, then there really isn't much. And
can I just interrupt you for
one second?
Yes. Because I just want to make sure I understand what you just said. You said, and I don't know what is or is not in the record, so I'm going to...
Yeah, well, here, it's right here.
You just said that words to the effect of, if this had been put in earlier or more timely, we wouldn't be here today.
By July 18th.
You said we wouldn't be here today. And
yes.
Do I take that to mean that you would have been satisfied with the representations that were made on safety issues and therefore... you would not have felt the need to pursue this matter?
No, I wouldn't have been satisfied, but the hearings officer would have. And therefore, we would have had to accept their decision. But I wouldn't be
satisfied. Yeah,
only possibly. We can't say what ifs. That's like saying we've never had an incident in that part of town. You're going to guarantee me? Are they going to guarantee us that there is never going to be an incident in South Portland? You shouldn't play the what-if games because nobody wins. It just does a disservice.
If I may just point out one other thing quickly. At no time today have we had anything where there's verification. I find myself in a very strange position quoting Ronald Reagan, but he did say, like, trust but verify.
Ronald Reagan in the record?
That's good.
I don't recall that. I think I would remember that.
Well, you should be then.
And gentlemen, we appreciate this dialogue, but I just want to go back to what our job is. And my understanding is the standard is unreasonable risk. Are we in agreement on that? Unreasonable risk? So that's what we have to review the evidence and determine whether there's an unreasonable risk. Not a risk, because you said trust but verify, and there could be a risk, but I believe the code specifically refers to an unreasonable risk. So I think we're all in agreement. We're bound by that code provision, and we have to judge the evidence based on that.
However, all your information is based previous to this new change in focus that ICE has taken in the last 60 days.
Well, we do have the June 20th letter from the police bureau, but in terms of the plan, that's your argument, but we do have in the record the police bureau position on this, on the question of whether it's reasonable or unreasonable. So that I believe it's dated before the date of the hearing officer's decision. So I'm just going to assume at this point it is part of the record.
But they were not privy to any kind of a plan at June 20th. That's why it was that vague. They did not have a privy to anything until their August 31st submission, which they state that we really don't have the authority, so we really don't want to get involved. But there again, I'll reiterate, if you don't have any kind of verification, since the applicant is Lindquist, it's not ICE.
So just so that I'm clear, verification of what? We don't have any verification.
What the applicant said he was going to talk to Ms. Godfrey about, who said that I can't make a decision on that, which is the plan that has been submitted. This is their plan.
My understanding of that was that was Commissioner Saltzman asking for Ms. Godfrey to react to Commissioner Saltzman's potential amendment or condition of approval, which is a difference than the way I just understood you to summarize that exchange.
Well, there's no way to verify if they are following any of their plans that you submit. Once you approve, if you approve, it's words are words. their actions, you're never going to know until the worst case scenario might happen.
But so the city has a 503-823 code, I believe, and any citizen can call in. And I have a feeling, based upon folks around the room, this will be watched pretty closely. Any citizen can call in. It seems to be a new service to a lot of folks. Call in and say that a code provision is being violated, and then we investigate that.
You don't have the right to investigate.
How can you go on to the federal facility?
That will be
ask Mr.
That will essentially be federal. And you will not, there's no, you don't have any, you essentially lose your ability to control that area.
Okay, I'll ask the city attorney for their thoughts on that.
Well.
But,
so did you have other things you wanted to say?
I just wanted to reiterate that all that information is new evidence, and you need to, you know, at least consider not using it or put a break on it. And say, hey, let's come back here in a week or 2 weeks, which in this document, they've already said that they're willing to come back on October 5th. That was the applicant on here, on record. So if to get this all straightened out, what the difference is between new evidence and old evidence, then I think it would be
fair and just. We're going to wade through new old evidence, and you'll have an opportunity for 7 days afterwards to clear the record up. Is there any additional comments you want to make substantively?
I think I've said enough.
I have a question, Mayor.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. At the hearing, was the issue of the record of the 511 building brought up?
It has been always brought up as being a non-issue.
But it was discussed. Was it discussed at the hearing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much. We'll now hear from opponents of the appeal. How many people have signed up?
We have 13.
Good.
And I'll call you four at a time. First, please come up. Irene Tinker, Leroy Barker, Perry Walker, and Leonard Michon.
Welcome. Glad you're here. Ms. Tinker, would you like to begin? Be sure and give us your name, and you'll have 3 minutes. Three minutes.
My name is Irene Tinker, Professor Emeritus, Department of City and Regional Planning, the University of California, Berkeley. I have testified before you and also at the hearing office about what poor planning this whole thing has gone into. I would like to just, before I make my final point, I have three issues just to comment on the comments. There's been a lot of discussion about how important it is to keep the ICE facility in Portland, but I haven't heard anyone discussing why it couldn't be moved even closer to an area under nearby the Fremont Bridge, where there are no, at this point, it is still industrial. The second point is there's a lot of discussion about why the Pearl isn't like the South Waterfront. The pictures all show the area around the ICE facility as being primarily zoned for small industry. That is because all of those areas, most of whom are many of which are blank, are not occupied or are not developed, are being held by the developers or whoever owns the land because of property values are going up in South Waterfront, largely due to much of the investment that the city itself has done to develop the South Waterfront. This is to be the new beautiful area of reclaiming bad land. And yet here you are putting what is a, looks, if you look at it, it looks either like a parking garage or a bunker at the main entrance to this new area. And this is one of the reasons I think most of us are feeling it's very inappropriate that where you are spending all this money to have the streetcar, to have high rise, to reclaim all the land along the river, you are then putting a very inappropriate symbol for people to come into the area. It would be as if you put a prison right in the front of the main part of the Pearl District. It is just a symbol to an area, and the South Waterfront, because of its physical limitations, is very, it's like an island. So I think there's a lot of difference there between them. My point here about the problem of all of this hearing is that as a new resident of South Waterfront, we have heard so many questionable information, misinformation, talk about misinformation, talk about the fact that we are told they don't know that there are so many holding offices.
So
that how can we possibly...
Professor, your time's
okay,
up.
How can we possibly trust the agreements of this very slippery group of people to do what they're going to say on safety issues? Thank you.
Thank you. Sir, welcome.
Me?
Yes.
Leroy Barker. Thank you for letting me testify. I live in the South Waterfront. I represent myself, my wife, and a few neighbors, and we have submitted written testimony, and they're identified in that. And this is from the record. My goodness.
Yes, it is.
I'm very concerned, and we're very concerned about the safety issues. It came to light as a result of a newspaper article, again, all that's been submitted, that Lindsay Snow, the leasing contracting officer at GSA, in a letter explained that the facility is subject to PBS order, et cetera, number. The GSA stated that the floor plan, quote, outlines the PBS security procedures needed to reduce the risk that building information will be used for dangerous or illegal purposes. That order came out, which has since been amended, but the basic order came out on March 8, 2002, in response, and this is out of the order, to the bombing of the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. The order which issued at that time clearly stated there is a rising apprehension that if building information is not restricted, it could easily fall into the hands of terrorists or other criminal elements. Now, those plans were originally made part of the public record, the planning record, and then they were later withdrawn, and she's explaining why they were withdrawn. And I think it's not appropriate in a residential area, as a prior speaker talked about, to have this facility, which is downtown, which is very different than where we are. And I think the ICE could not tell us the percentage of criminals that are going to go through there. But I think with Obama's new policy extending, skipping the farm laborers and picking up criminals, and that's what's been announced, this facility is going to be a magnet for criminals, and I don't think it should be in our neighborhood. Thank you for your attention.
Mr. Barber, Parker, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Leonard Michon. It's been 8 months since we last spoke before you regarding relocation of the ICE facility to South Waterfront. Since then, neighbors have attended a meeting at the charter school where representatives of the building's owner and representatives of the federal government spoke. We also presented oral and written comments to the hearings officer. And we've seen progress made on improving the north end of Moody Avenue. I can say that this is the city that works. The issue that you're addressing today is public safety. The proposed security plan, Exhibit A8, as presented by the applicant to the hearings officer, failed to address the direct release of ICE detainees into the neighborhood. The Seattle field office director subsequently provided an ICE custody release plan, as you've heard before, wherein, quote, release will be effected at mass transit location with funds for fare, unquote. There's a bus stop one block from 4310 Southwest McAdam. That is a mass transit location, and that is in the neighborhood. This plan does not provide for public safety. And as Leroy spoke, the federal government issued on June 1, 2009, a security document, PBS 3490.1A, in which is stated the following, quote, "The protection of federal employees, the public, and its facilities has always been a priority for GSA. Since the Murrah Federal Building bombing, GSA has made a concerted effort to prevent another such occurrence. The ICE facility is currently located at 511 Northwest Broadway. It's a National Historic Building where safety modifications cannot be made. Bomb-proofing can be done for the 4310 Southwest McAdam building. But that leaves the charter school directly across Moody, the low-income and veterans housing across Bancroft, as well as the other residential buildings in the area, unprotected. ICE criteria for detention facility location include ease of access for transportation of detainees to the regional Tacoma facility and central city location. With the release plan noted above, that is, quote, release at mass transit location with fare, central city facility location should not matter. A number of the ICE, immigration staff have already been permanently relocated to the Northwest Portland facility.
And sir, your time's up.
The appropriate location for the ICE detention facility is in a sparsely populated industrial area. I understand the city will obtain the 511 building once ICE is completely vacated. That's a great inventory for cultural buildings. But do not rush to approve the McAdam location at the sacrifice for the safety of city residents.
All right, thank you. Sir?
Good afternoon. My name's Perry Walker. I've appeared here before and before the hearing officer in the conditional use hearing. I'm opposed to this application. I have a written testimony, but I listened to the testimony this afternoon, and I want to change a little bit because I really feel sorry for you and the council. You're going to have to make a decision about a building that you have jurisdiction over that is going to be leased to the federal government that has an operation that you'll have no jurisdiction over. Whatever plan that Ms. Godfrey or anybody else presents to you, by the way, the quote plan that they presented that I read was more of a policy. It may, you can. It did not say you shall. There was no plan. It was more of a policy of how they go through the process of releasing these detainees, which are criminals who have been convicted of some crime or whatever they are, of different gradations and so forth. But you are going to have to decide, are you going to permit a new building, a new facility in a residential area across the street from the school that's going to be dealing with convicted criminals that have a release policy that you won't be able to change because Ms. Godfrey or anybody else here won't change those policies? That's going to come down from the Homeland Security folks. And if they change the policy on release, we have nothing to say, you and the council or we as citizens. And so I caution you carefully on this because you might approve the building that you have jurisdiction over. Does it set the city code? But the operation of that building is going to be out of your hands and out of our hands and in many ways out of Mrs. Godfrey's hands and her staff. They take the orders from the regional offices, and ultimately from Washington, D.C. So I empathize with how the dilemma you're faced with here, because we're not talking about shoplifters. We're talking about folks that are coming into the neighborhood under armed guard. They're going to be shackled. They're going to be taken into a secure area, and within a few hours, they're going to be free to walk around. Now, if they're dangerous enough to come into the neighborhood in shackles under armed guard and secure vans, what happens to them for 2 hours or 3 hours that they're able to go out into a residential neighborhood across the street from a school, down the street from a Montessori school, daycare centers in the area, senior citizens walking and enjoying the parks, families with children? Is that good planning? I submit it isn't, and I would recommend that you deny this appeal. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. The next four.
The next four: Jim Rudolph, Laura Brackey, Krista on Greenfield Drive, Scott Kelly. They'll be followed by Christian Perlman, Rose Kelly, Mark Siegel, and Tom Noguchi.
Welcome. All right, we have an empty chair. Would you like to sit down, sir? Good, sit down. You? No, you don't want to sit down? I don't blame you. You might need to make a quick exit. Fourth person.
So we're looking for Jim Rudolph, Laura Brackey, Krista.
Are you Ms. Brackey?
Yes. Rodriguez.
Great. Welcome.
Rodriguez. Okay.
Would you like to begin, sir?
My name is James Rudolph.
You put the microphone on.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks.
My name is James Rudolph, and I live on the South Waterfront. I come here today to recommend to you that you oppose this revised, if you will, proposition. And the big reason for it is that you have a brand new neighborhood that is just beginning to learn how to live together. And it is still expanding. We have multiple new facilities to be built, and they are on the planning board. And you don't know. You have no idea who are the people that are going to live there and so forth. And from my perspective, I think that we can't trust what ICE itself is going to be doing. We're talking about dealing with the landlord, leasing the building. That's not good enough for me. I would prefer that you stay your course and do not approve this thing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Krista Rodriguez. This is my son, Paolo. Keeping him safe as his mother is, of course, my number one priority, and I'm here to ask that you make it yours, too. All statistics aside about the problems or not, or lack of problems on the Broadway building, there is simply no way that anyone can guarantee that there will be no harm that could fall to the nearly 200 children that attend our public school. And for me, I believe that if there is any threat, unreasonable, realistic, whatever, of harm, that the government, the city, the local, the state, the federal, every element of government should be erring on the side of caution to protect its most vulnerable citizens. And in this case, those vulnerable citizens are our children. Our children have a right to go to the school that they love in a safe neighborhood. And I am concerned that that safety will be compromised as they go about their business in the neighborhood. They are out every day, participating in community service projects, traveling on that bike path to Cottonwood Bay and back, and they're out talking with the neighbors, getting in touch with our community. They'll also be outside tending to our community garden plots, which are literally a ball's throw away from the proposed detention center. While I do understand that there is a need for a facility like this, I would no sooner expect to see it go into any urban environment and next to any urban Portland public school, as I do expect to see it going next to my son's school. A school should be considered a safe haven. And I believe we have an obligation whenever possible to ensure student safety, and I believe that there are other options here. There are other locations that could fit the bill. And I would ask that you continue to tell the applicant, no, I'm sorry, it's not safe in this environment. You're going to have to find somewhere else for this detention center.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Scott Kelly.
I'm a retired Portland firefighter paramedic. I'm sorry I don't have a chance to see Commissioner Leonard in person today. I spent 20 years making every shift's highest priority the safety of Portland citizens. And I still have those concerns now, even though I'm retired, but more selfishly, I'm concerned about my daughter, my 8-year-old daughter who attends Southwest Charter School, and I'm concerned for the staff and the other students that attend there as well. I'm here to merely say I strongly urge you to deny ICE the chance to be cited at 4310 McAdam. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ma'am.
Hello. My name is Laura Brackey, and I'm a parent at Southwest Charter School, which is located in the South Waterfront next door to the proposed ICE building. I previously submitted testimony about Emerson's comparison in the Pearl isn't apples to apples. Emerson is blocks away from the facility in the Pearl. Southwest Charter School is merely a few hundred feet. I understand that ICE is in a pinch to get a building because it awarded its present location at 511 Broadway in 2008 to PNCA, Pacific Northwest College of Art, at no cost. In June, the Portland Development authorized a grant to PNCA of $740,000 to assist in the development. The citizens that reside, work, and attend school in the South Waterfront desire the same consideration as the citizens in the Pearl who would rather have a renovated building where ICE currently exists. I feel the proposed site of the detention facility in the South Waterfront in a residential community is inappropriate. In previous meetings and hearings, including the GSA and ICE building for the Neighborhood Association held at our school, in which Elizabeth Godfrey attended and spoke, I left without satisfaction that ICE had a real working plan to ensure the safety of the neighborhood, including our school, in releasing detainees and the coming and goings of its operation. I urge the City Council to say no to the detention center's location in the South Waterfront. On another note, I would like to acknowledge how great of a neighbor I feel the Old Spaghetti Factory has been to our school in allowing us to use their parking lot.
Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it. The next four.
Christian Perlman, Rose Kelly, Mark Siegel, Tom Noguchi, please come up. And then our last two will be Chandra Stone and actually, that's just one. One more.
Mr. Perlman?
Yes.
Would you like to begin?
Sure. My name is Christian Perlman. I'm the board president for Southwest Charter School. I'm also here as a parent of two children that attend the school. I think most of what I was going to speak to has been covered today. Perry and Leonard did a very good job of addressing some of the concerns with the proximity of the closest mass transit location, which I was kind of surprised that they actually considered that as an option. I didn't consider them loading anyone up and then dropping them a block away as a good option for. And so I do appreciate the idea that maybe to the free zone is a good option. As far as the parking that has been provided by the Lindquist Group, it was actually in response to a request that I made to our landlord, who is bringing in a new lease next door and has taken up all of our parking. So we asked that they take care of that for us. And with negotiations with his broker, he did work with Stu Lindquist to provide us parking. But I felt it was something that was more of a business decision than anything other than that. The ICE custody release plan that has been submitted. I noticed, similar to what Perry noticed, was that it was very full of soft language. A lot of may, might, sometimes, all things that when I'm making a plan, I'm looking for a lot more concrete items. I need, if I'm going to submit something to someone and I want them to believe that it is crucial to their decision, I would want to make sure that they knew I meant it. As far as their suggestion that a lot of this was good because it provided an opportunity for people to be more involved in the process, I have a different opinion of that, and I feel that during this process, a lot of the appellant's actions were of the reverse. They often would prefer if we weren't involved in this discussion at all. And in relationship to the safety, yes, history is important in safety, but proximity is important. And some, you know, they mentioned earlier that the what ifs aren't important, but to me they are, because the safety of the children that attend my school is extremely important to me, and one time is too many. To me, if you need armed guards in a shack, which will be within even less than 100 feet to our building, you know, what does that say about the people and the clientele that you're serving? Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Rose.
Hi, Rose. What would you like to say?
We do not want you to put ice by our school. Someone might get hurt.
Well, you are the cutest testifier.
And the most succinct.
You get extra points.
Maybe the single most effective testimony we've ever had in council. And
thank you, Rose. We appreciate it. Thank you. Sir, oh, you can stay up here for a minute. Do you see yourself on TV? Yeah. You're a TV star now. Sir.
Good afternoon. Mark Siegel, 3601 Southwest River Parkway, Portland, Oregon, 97239. I provided testimony at the hearing before the hearings officer, and specific in my testimony were concerns about the security plan as proposed by ICE. In my testimony, I noted the lack of specificity about how the detainees would be addressed in that plan. I've since then reviewed the August 17th 2011 letter from the appellant appealing the hearings office decision, as well as the attachment entitled ICE Custody Release Plan, Seattle Field Office, McAdam Site, Portland, Oregon. It attempts to address concerns raised in the hearing. I would submit to the applicant's proposal in that attachment still does not fully address the public safety criterion needed to grant a conditional use permit per the codes 33.815.215. The reason being, the attachment tries to give the ICE some flexibility without being specific in its actual application. Items 5.0 through 5.4 of that amended plan attempt to meet the concern about released detainees. Item 5.3 uses the word may and not shall. This does not appear to give the level of protection that one would hope for nor to meet the conditional use criterion. Item 5.3.2 of the amended plan uses the phrase released from custody at mass transit locations. The lack of definition of mass transit location could mean to simply place released detainees at the nearby number 35 bus stop or at the streetcar stop across the Matisse or the VA facility or veterans facility presently under construction. Again, where is the level of reassurance and protection for the immediate neighborhood in the plan? That concludes my remarks. I do have hard copy if you'd like it.
Please give it to Council Clerk, too. All right, anyone else wish to testify?
Two more here, Tom Noguchi and Shonda Stone.
Anybody else? This will be your last opportunity. for the moment, I guess, depending on what happens next. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Namaguchi, please begin.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
My name is Tom Noguchi, and I reside at 3570 Southwest River Parkway. I agree that the so-called release plan is inadequate, insufficient, and as characterized by other speakers before me, it's too general in nature, and it uses permissive language. It doesn't have the kind of specificity that would reassure me or, I believe, my neighbors with regard to the safety issues that have been raised here. The suggested plan does not indicate who at the ICE facility or at the city who would be responsible if a released detainee holds or hurts a resident in the neighborhood. The proposed plan does not provide for even informing the neighborhood of the number and times of released detainees. It seems like transparency and good public policy would suggest reasonable notification of the public, especially the immediate neighbors, including the two schools and the one child care facility. In short, the ICE jail and proposed plan does not provide assurance for reasonable safety of the public. It does not provide the specific points of responsibility, and we all know that past history or past performance does not guarantee future performance with regard to the comparison to the facility at the existing federal building. So I would recommend that you not provide for the conditional use of this particular building. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Hi.
Hi, Mayor Adams and members of the City Council. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this issue today. My name is Shanda Stone. I'm a parent of a parent of two Southwest Charter School students. I also work for the City of Tualatin, and I attended Portland State University in Geography and Urban Planning. So I feel like I am very well-versed in speaking to you today. I would like you to reconsider, like you to continue to deny the conditional use of the ICE facility that's proposed. I consider this on many different points, which have already been pointed out today. One I'd like to highlight is they say it's across from Moody Avenue. Moody Avenue runs and then dead ends right there, and then it becomes the bike path. So it is not across any street. It is across a bike path. So it is not really across any street. It's right next door to the Southwest Charter School. And also, I know that the Southwest Charter School is zoned as a CXD right now, but I would also think that the City Council would think that they need to rezone the school at some point. And I know that that's not necessarily part of this issue right this second, but that would be something I think you'd take into consideration. Also, looking at the vulnerable populations that we have in this South Waterfront District. We have a school, we have daycare, we have veterans, and we have the elderly. So we have a lot of vulnerable populations in this proximity. And also releasing to the mass transit, just as they were pointing out, there is the bus, there is the streetcar. There's also OHSU that has the tram right there that also goes up to Dornbecker, which is another vulnerable population. A lot of people park right there down at those South Waterfront OHSU building and take the tram up to their appointment. So that would be another population. So it's all pointing to me for a sense of place. This is a South Waterfront. It is a new neighborhood. And this facility is really based on a couple of different things. If we look at the motivations of the owner of the building, it's an economic motivation. He'd like to have a renter in there who's going to be stable and provide him money for a long time, which I understand that. That's a valid reason. And then also ICE needs a building, also an economic reason. It's a good facility for them. But we're looking at our motivations, and our motivations are safety, livability, and a sense of place. And I think that those should outweigh economic concerns. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all. All right. Can we have staff come back up? Commissioner Saltzman?
A couple questions. And I guess I do have a legal question, too, but I'll save that
after I've asked Douglas. So you've taken the ICE custody release plan and you've wordsmithed it into language that you believe the Bureau of Development Services can enforce as a condition of approval.
Right.
Okay. And so for one thing, you did change the word from ICE may.